to Beyond the Scoreboard. My name is Raven Moore, and I'm the high school sports reporter for the Iowa City Press-Citizen. In this new podcast, we hope to go beyond the playing fields to further shine a light on the talented athletes, coaches, and teams in town, as well as in surrounding areas. To accomplish that, we'll pick the best female and male athletes from the previous week of action, as well as pick the teams that had the best showing. To close things out, we will highlight a specific player, team, game, or coach that deserves a more in-depth look. And this week, that spotlight will go on West Branch assistant football coach Ronnie Hughes. With over 50 years of coaching experience, Coach Hughes discusses how the game has changed over the years and the lessons that he has learned with it. Kicking things off, the Girls Athlete of the Week will go to Clear Creek Amana junior volleyball player Bliss Beck. During the Clippers' 5-0 performance during the Prairie Varsity Tournament on October 1st, she finished the event with 44 kills and 13 blocks. Our top girls team of the week will go to the West High Trojans volleyball team, following their 3-2 victory over the City High Little Hawks in the battle for the Spike game. That victory marks the first time since 2018 that they would be able to bring the trophy home. Following the game, I got to speak with West High head coach Keely Arnold, as well as senior Sophia Dyack and junior Malay Lacey following the game. Here are those conversations. First things first, not only did you guys pull off the big battle for the Spike win, but you get to do it in the night that you're honoring your seniors on senior night. Just kind of talk about how much this feels to you.
I told my team after, you know, it's amazing. It's kind of like icing on the cake to get the win. But also the fact that we just have come together and we played so much better tonight than we have in the last few weeks. And, you know, we struggled the last few weeks with some injuries and some other things. And just coming out tonight and trusting one another and playing the way we did, I'm so proud.
Absolutely. And so as a West High alum yourself, how does it feel to bring back the battle for the Spike here? I believe it's been since 2018 that you guys have had it.
Oh, my God. It always feels so good. It always feels so good. You know, the crosstown rivalry is just always a big thing. It's like, it's akin to, like, you know, making it to state. Like, it's just everything is so electric on that day, and it's just so much more exciting when you're going to go home with a W.
Yeah. Absolutely. Continuing to talk about doubles, W's, you mentioned that it felt like you guys were going through your fair share of adversity with different injuries and things like that over the past few weeks. You're getting Emma back, and then you're getting some other valuable performances from players like Sophia and then Katrina Washington. Just kind of talk about how good it feels to see your depth step up.
In the last, like, 2 to 3 years, we've really struggled with having any kind of depth. So it's really amazing to see all of our players getting to step up and contribute to this win, because we needed every single one of them tonight. So.
Yeah, and then just a couple more questions for me. So just kind of looking at this type of performance, I mean, I know there's so much excitement here, and it's clear that the chemistry is clear. I mean, even when you guys got down in those last couple of sets, you guys still pulled it together, still holding together. How far do you think this team chemistry can take you guys, especially with the postseason right around the corner?
I mean, I believe in this team 110%, and I truly believe that we can make it to state with this team. We got to make sure that we're playing for each other and not for ourselves, and we can do just about anything. The talent's there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just last question for me, kind of talking about you guys won those first two sets, lost the next two. What do you think was the biggest difference between those two sets, and what did it take for you guys to come back in the fifth?
Yeah, so the first two, I mean, we came out and we went like 110%, you know, like the fire, the energy, it was all there. And then I feel like we kind of just like let our foot off the gas pedal a little bit, and we didn't communicate as well. And, you know, we had to get back to what it is that we do well, and that's communicating, moving the ball around, and making sure that we are winning those hustle plays.
Moving on to the boys' side of things, Athlete of the Week will go to junior Liberty Lightning quarterback Graham Beckman. Last Friday, in the team's 68-6 victory over Mount Pleasant, he threw for a season-high 6 touchdowns as well as 307 yards while completing 78.9% of his passes. Our top boys' team of the week will go to the Solon Spartans football team after their 44-0 homecoming victory over Washington. In their balanced performance, everything was going right for the Trojans, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They got their second straight shutout win and forced 4 turnovers along the way. After the game, I caught up with Spartans head coach Lucas Sannon. Check out that interview. First things first, coach, congratulations. That's 3 straight wins. Yep. How does it feel to see your team really bounce back after kind of a slow start?
Feels really good. I'm really proud of our kids, first and foremost. I mean, that 2-week stretch was really tough. Mm-hmm. Tough on them, tough on us, and you know, they were challenged, and you know, all the credit goes to them, honestly, for this, you know, winning three games in a row. It's all the kids. I mean, this their resilience and toughness that they've shown, and you know, we challenged them, and you know, they could have folded, and but that's not in our DNA. That's not who we are, and they took some pride in some things and saw that we needed to get better at the little things in practice and attention to details, and you know, sometimes, you know, when you lose a game, you can learn from it, or you can complain and point fingers, and just really proud of the kids for not going in that other direction and staying positive and moving forward.
Yeah, and kind of talking about having positive things. I mean, you guys got Sean Staley back after missing the past two games. How good did it feel to have him back on the field and just kind of seeing the extra dimension that he added?
Yeah, you know, Sean's a dynamic player, and so to have him back, it just adds that other dynamic in our offense. And then, you know, the one thing that might get a little overlooked for him, because he didn't play a lot of D last year, is he is a very good defensive player too. And watching him play both sides of the ball, and his toughness and battling, you know, through an injury is never easy. And yeah, so again, just really proud of him and the way he handled that.
And kind of continuing on talking about defense, I mean, and talking to Sean, he mentioned how easy it was for the offense, knowing that the defense was either going to create turnovers or just create a short field. How good was it to see your defense play so well?
Yeah, that's, you know, our defense has been pretty consistent all year, and we don't do anything too complicated. We just really coach the heck out of the fundamentals and want them to fly to the football. And, you know, they've been really sound all year. It's just, you know, a do-your-job mentality. And so, yeah, it's nice when, you know, the other side of the ball knows, you know, we have a rock-solid D. So on offense, all we need to do is take care of the football, move the chains. And, you know, obviously there's times where things aren't going to go our way. And we just tell the defense and I didn't make this quote up, but we just tell our defense it doesn't matter who started the fire. We go out there and put it out. You know, that's what the firefighters do, right? Mm-hmm. They don't care about who started it. They just go take care of business. So we kind of have that mentality on D, no matter what.
Yeah, and is it a nice added bonus to have back-to-back weeks with shutout victories?
Yeah. You know, and we challenged them today. Told them, you know, we wanted a shutout, and we actually challenged them to create turnovers, and it'd be nice to get a score as well, and we did that. So again, credit to the kids for rising up. So,
and then this last question for me: you guys are such a great defensive team, and then your run game typically carries the load as well. However, today it was really the passing game. Blake Timmons had three touchdowns coming into the game. He only had two passing touchdowns, so really matching that production. Just kind of talking about, do you think that we're going to see more passing going on throughout the rest of the year, or was this a one-off thing?
You know, it was really kind of what they were giving us. Mm-hmm. We obviously want to run the ball. That was one of the things in our two-game skid there that we knew we needed to get back to was, hey, if we're going to go as far as we want, we have to get that running game physical, downhill style back. You know, that's kind of what we're built on. And but that opens up the pass game, and it was good to see Blake have that success. And again, that credit goes to our line for really rising up to the challenge and, you know, protecting him first and foremost to allow him to get some of those passes. But when you're able to run the ball, when you do some of those run pass options, you know, they have to respect the run, and that opens up things on the outside, and they got to respect, you know, our guys out there. So
any questions for you?
Yeah, I just want to double check that was a white tackle that led to Reese Weir grabbing the ball and scampering in.
Yes, I believe it was. Brett caused the fumble, and then Reese scooped it up.
Because Eagle-Eyed Don had the other way at first.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
Double check on that.
Yeah, it should be. I think our stat book had it. We checked it at halftime, and I think the stat had it. Yeah. Book had it like that.
So. And it would make sense.
Anything
else?
Well, let's see. You know, last week I kind of mentioned how a lot of coaches talk about homecoming week. It's full of distractions.
Yeah.
Everything but football. Yeah. And it seems like you guys pretty much blew that all out of the water.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those deals where we just talked to the kids about, you know, hey, we know it's homecoming, and you guys are in high school, and you should enjoy those festivities, but let's not forget, like, we have a football game to prepare for. And again, they just did a really good job of focusing on what they needed to, you know. And I think they realized, you know, what we needed to get back to. And, you know, they still did their, you know, the pep rally the other night and all that. And we want them to do that. They're in high school. They should enjoy those things. and to kind of separate the two, it was good to see how they handled that. Yeah.
They were definitely focused tonight.
Yes. Yes, they were. Yep.
Good deal. Rest of the season, you're going down to Fairfield next week. Yeah. What are you thinking?
Right now, honestly, we have not even thinking about Fairfield, honestly. We're I know that's really coach speak, but
Coach speak is the one game at a time.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. You know, but Fairfield, I think they won last week. Yeah, they beat Keokuk in an overtime game. And you know, they're a program that has struggled in the past, but I really respect their coach and what he does. He does things the right way, and they're an improving program, and you know, it's at their place, and that's not an easy thing anytime you're on the road. So we're going to get their best shot. It's going to be another challenge for us, and we got to rise up. So
it's a long ride down there, too.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
It could be a longer ride back.
Yeah.
Well, we hope.
No, yeah.
Last question, rest of the season. Obviously, you're focused on this, but
yeah.
You know, you do have the rest of the season looming. It's getting toward the end.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'm thinking it's limited opportunities for our seniors. Our seniors got to make sure that they're soaking it in and realizing that those opportunities start to shrink as you get late in the season. You know, they don't have a lot of football left. We're only guaranteed, you know, I believe what, one more home game. We're only guaranteed that's it. So, you know, if we want to continue to maximize those opportunities, we got to continue to take care of business. But that's really kind of where my mind is right now is, you know, I think about our seniors and one game left at Spartan Stadium guaranteed. And we'd love to have another one, so we got to take care of business.
So much has changed in the past 50 years, and football has been no exception. No one has seen the changes around the game more closely than West Branch Bears offensive line and defensive line coach Ronnie Hughes. Coaching high school and college teams from Texas to Iowa, Hughes has seen just about everything throughout his career. Ahead of the number one Bears pivotal matchup this week against the Regina Regals, Hughes shares some of his tricks to the trade, as well as what keeps him coming back to the sideline. He starts things off discussing his coaching journey.
How many? There's been a ton, because I started in Texas in 1971, and gosh, just to summarize it, we've lived in 17 houses, and so it's been a very mobile profession. Football, you cannot coach football in Texas without being a teacher, so I taught biology and was athletic director for a number of years, but I was in Eastland for 17 years, Eastland, Texas. I was head coach there. And I was head coach at Jacksboro, Texas, Cuero, Texas. I moved to Illinois for 3 years when our son was playing football at Iowa. Mm-hmm. So I could come watch the games. And Coach Fry had told me, said, look, it's not a good job, but, you know, you ought to. It'll allow you to, because we were trying to fly and it was, you know, it was killing us. So then we moved back to Texas and we finished out where I could retire. And I worked at Abilene High, which is a 5A school, as a defensive coordinator, then became a head coach again. And then I went to the college level for a couple of years. And we decided we were going to see our grandkids. We had to move up. So we did that in 2005. And where have I been here? I started at West Branch in 05. And really, I hadn't intended to coach when I moved up here because I was pretty tired. And so I laid out a year, and then Marv Cook asked me to help him at Regina. So I was there for 5 years and, again, was going to try to retire and end up at West. And then my son and I became the co-head coaches at Clear Creek for 4 years. Yeah. And it just kept moving. So I've been at Liberty and at Durant. And in the last year, I'm at West Branch now. And because Butch and the head coach out there and I are really good friends. So he asked me to help. And I said, okay, I'll come out and be with you.
Yeah, you definitely have bounced around a bit, but it's really cool that you've gotten to go to so many different teams in different states and also do it at the college level. So over the course of your career, what would you say are some of the biggest differences from the early portions to what you see now?
Well, you were a lot, there's a lot more smash mouth. Well, it wasn't really. It was, I've lived through the evolution of the wishbone to the veer to the power game. Mm-hmm. Now it's the spread. And I was basically a defensive coach, so it causes, it really makes you study the game a lot, because the more they spread the field, the harder it is to defend. Mm-hmm. And very basically, in basics, offenses have changed, defenses have changed, but the basic fundamentals of the game are always the same. You've got to block and tackle to win. And so, you know, I don't think it's changed that drastically from the basic fundamentals.
And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, the different offenses and the, how they stylistically have changed. So, and being a defensive guy, which one was your favorite to match up against?
It depends on what people they had on their side. you know, it was hard to match up the veer, because anything you did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And the veer is right into this RPO stuff you're doing today. Mm-hmm. They have so many similarities, because you have to play one-on-one football, and it creates a lot of mismatches. And if you do something, you just have to defend the whole field. I think the RPO concept we have today came directly from the veer concepts in the early mid-70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so kind of continuing on with some of those lessons. So, I mean, because you've been able to coach at both the college and high school level, I'm sure that you got to meet so many different people, from different coaches to players. So for you personally, what would you say are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned throughout your career?
Well, I've learned to enjoy the game. You know, I enjoy coaching football, or I wouldn't be doing it today. And it's not about the winning and the losing. I've met so many great coaches, from Bum Phillips back in the older days, all the way up to, you know, Marv Cook at Regina, and everybody in between. And every one of them has had an influence on my life. But the bottom line, the kids are the ones that have had the biggest influence. And you ask what has changed. But I know one thing, it hasn't changed from 71 to 22. The kids have not changed. They're just good kids. They work hard. And that's what keeps me doing what I do.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really awesome that you commend the kids. I mean, especially because at the high school level, it's always that transition. You get them for a few years and then they're out the door. So kind of, and how has it been trying to build those relationships with those players, if even after all those years that you would coach them?
You know, it's funny. That's the only reason I'm on Facebook, is because I keep track of all the kids back that I've coached through the years, and kind of see where they are. I think I have good relationships with all of them, or not all of them, but for the majority of them, all the way back to the early 70s. And yeah, I remember most of them. I can't, you know, I'll see an article or something and I'll remember who they are, but I may not know exactly where they came from. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a really good thing to be able to know all the coaches and the players, and to have met so many people.
Yeah, and so, and I'm sure probably one of the players that you have the closest relationship to, maybe Ty Hughes, quarterback at West Branch, who was also your grandson. So how has it been kind of coaching him this year? I remember I recently watched the interview where you discussed where you were his quarterback's coach for a time. So what's it like coaching on a team that he's on again?
Well, it's probably better for me than it is for him. No, we have a great relationship, and he's a great young man. And it's just, I enjoy, I don't work with him now. He has a great offensive coordinator that works with him. Mm-hmm. And I just get to coach the offensive line and kind of be around, and it's fun. We enjoy it. And, you know, it's just a fun thing.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned, you know, your current role now with West Branch as the, I believe, offensive and defensive line coach. So for you personally, what is the biggest lesson you want to impress upon your players?
Well, football wise, we want to make sure we know what we're doing every all the time and coming off the football. But, you know, when it's all said and done, I hope that we have a good, I have a good influence on them in their lives, because football is a very, you said it, it's a very short period, and the effect that you as a coach can have, it should have a lifetime. It's not all about the W's and L's. It's about what happens after they graduate and the successes they have and things like that. That I want them to be good kids and work hard.
Mm-hmm. And that's always a great lesson. So kind of taking it to this Friday's upcoming matchup against the Regina Regals, a team that, as you mentioned, you were on their coaching staff for 5 years. Though Coach Cook has retired and Jason Dumont's taken over, how's it going to be facing this squad again?
Jason's a great friend. Ed Hinkle's a good friend. It's, you know, it's gonna be a good game. First of all, I think they're very good, very talented. They pose some threats to us that we haven't seen. So I think it's gonna be for me personally, it's always hard when you play friends. But you know, for that period of time, you go against one another. But when it's over, you're still friends. So. That's the good thing. That's what I look forward to, the competition.
And then just a couple more questions for me. So, Coach, I mean, throughout your career, like you said, I mean, you've seen a little bit of everything, been a part of some great teams, and really had valuable learning experiences. But for you, I mean, what is there anything else that you hope to accomplish, or do you just continue to coach for the love of coaching?
I coach because I love the kids and I love the game. And I think it's a very important, vital part of our society to learn how to work hard, to have a little discipline, to and have fun in something that's tough. I mean, football is not an easy game. It's a tough game. And the kids that come out of it, and too many coaches think it's all about W's. It's not. It's not. It's all about making the kids realize there's more things important on this whole thing.
All right, Coach. And then just one final question for me. All right, so let's take things back to 50 years ago. You're about to coach your first high school season. What would you tell Ronnie Hughes of 1971 that you wish you would have known at that time?
Well, I guess I'm kind of lucky in that I had my dad for a coach too. So I kind of knew what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. He didn't coach as long as I have, but I think I would have said, you know, you did things the best you could and just do what's right. And that's what I've always tried to do.
It was great getting the chance to learn from Coach Hughes. I can't wait to see how this Friday's game shakes out, where once again, the West Branch Bears will host the Regina Regals. From Beyond the Scoreboard, I'm Raven Moore. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you all next time.